Okay, so Mishnah in the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis says the Mishnah Amar of Zechariah ben Akotzav. He says the following story: Hamaon, person makes a neder, right, or shavua, and they say Hamaon Azed, this dwelling place, meaning taking a shavua on the Beis Hamikdash or whatever. It's a way of making a shavua. That what? Lo zaza yada mitoch yadai misha shenichnesu ovdi kochav Yerushalayim. From the moment that the non-Jews entered Yerushalayim, I was like holding my wife's hand the whole time, meaning that she never moved from me, vad sheyetzu, until they left. So meaning he's trying to give testimony that nothing happened to his wife at that moment. So amru lo ain adam made alatzmo. So I said back to him, a person cannot give testimony about himself. Presumably, and we'll see. Presumably, meaning that a husband testifying about his wife, he's a mamish and nogei badava, right? There's no more bias than that than a husband testifying about his own wife. So yeah, you can say you're holding your hand all the time, but that we're not going to trust someone to give testimony about themselves. Fine. So says the Gemara as follows: Tana, va'afa pichen yichad la bayis bechatzero. So even though they didn't trust him in the sense that to say to him, and again, Rav Zechariah ben Akotzav was a kohen. So even though they didn't trust him in the sense that he couldn't accept his edus, nevertheless he gave her a house in his chatzer. And when she would leave, the house, she would leave with first from her children, meaning there would always be children in the house, and then she would leave first. Right? And when she would enter the house, she would always enter last. Meaning whenever she would be in the house with her former husband, there would always be children in the house, meaning there wouldn't be yichud. Right? Because they were still had this, it's almost like a situation where they were like continuing to parent the children together. It's like a tragic scenario where they're like parenting the children together. She lives like on the property, but they couldn't live together because they couldn't be husband and wife anymore. And so that's what she always made sure she was always in the house with other people there.
I think they got divorced though. They're just
presumably yes. Yeah, she became forbidden to him. Rashi says va'afabichin she'asru alav lefisha kohen haya. Right. So they made her forbidden to him. So did he give her a get? I would imagine the answer is yes at that point. But the Gemara doesn't say that. But presumably yes, she was forbidden to him.
Having children around. That
makes
that,
it not yichud. Even
if they're little kids.
Right? So it depends how little they are. If it's an infant, that's not going to help. Any child old enough who's going to know what's going on. Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yes. So Baye. So Baye asked, Ma'olasos begrusha, Cain. What about a person, a general case of divorced, right? A general case where they're divorced, is that permissible to do? So Hasam hu debishvuya hikilu avahachalo. Oh, demaloshan. Meaning, are you going to say that this case really, and according to this next line in the Gemara, you might argue that maybe he really didn't give her a get, right? So she's like, they're not really divorced. They're forbidden to be together because technically they paskin that he couldn't testify. But you could say he knows and she knows that they're not really forbidden to each other. So they have this like by shavuya they were mekel. Okay, so like let them still live in the same compound and basically. They will make sure they're not having yichud, but really, why would we not be concerned? Because really, they're not also to each other, let's say, or it's possible, right? Is that why they were mekel in that case? Or no, like there's no difference. And even a woman who got divorced from her husband, same thing. It could be like a divorce agreement that she's going to live on that she'll live on the property, and they'll be with the children together, and they'll never have yichud. Is that okay? So it's the Gemara, Tashma, Desanya, Hamagavish is ishto lo tenasa bishchunaso. If a person divorced his wife, so he should not get married and then be in the same neighborhood. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Begrusha kohen shagirish as ishta maula dor imo b'chater." Is they allowed to live in the same chater? That was the kasha, right? So let's lo tinase bishchuna. So says Rashi, "Lefishim he can't live in the same neighborhood." Lefishim akira b'remizuzav v'kritzosav shema yavo lidei aver. Meaning, if they get married again, right? So and we'll see who gets married again. But let's say they get married again, or she gets married to somebody, right? Now they shouldn't live in the same neighborhood. Why? Because there's this very, very, very intimate, close relationship between a former husband and wife, right? So to have them living in the same area, and she's got a new husband, and he's still around, so that's not going to go well, right? Because all they need to do is like wink, wink, and they find themselves, you know, very quickly secluded somewhere and can find themselves involved in serious averus. So this is not a Chazal understood very clear, very very clearly that a relationship that used to be an intimate relationship doesn't just go away because they got divorced, and therefore they shouldn't live in the same area. So let's keep going. V'im kohen, v'im haya kohen, and if the husband was a kohen, right? Rashi says v'im haya kohen afil lo nises, meaning our point is that they were married, they got divorced, and she got remarried. Once she gets remarried, even if he's not a kohen, she's a sewer to him now, right? And if he's a kohen, as once they got divorced, even if she never got remarried, nevertheless, they're now forbidden anyways. The moment they get divorced, lo sadur imo b'mavoy, they shouldn't live together in the same mavoy, the same, you know, you have multiple chatzeros, right, in the same, you know, on the same block, basically.
Just a question, right? If a non-kohen couple, right, once they get divorced, nobody remarried yet, they cannot have...
They're forbidden to have relations with each other, but if they do, it's not like, she's not ish, right? You're allowed to get married again, right? So if, a man and a kohen, they can get remarried if they want to. If they make a mistake, right, if they be nichshal together, so then she's not ish, right? So it wouldn't be the same level iser, but they're not married.
If they had a kid then, they're divorced, right?
And they had a child?
Yeah.
So then it wouldn't be a mamzer.
Would not be a mamzer.
Correct. Because she's right. So if a kohen divorces a woman, the moment they get divorced, she's a grusha. That's it. And if they have a child, that child would be a halal.
Halal, right.
Right?
Okay.
So,
I got it.
So yeah. So and if he's a kohen, they shouldn't live in the same mavoy. Right? In higher kfar katan, if it was a small town, ze haya maisev amru kfar katan nidon kimavoy. And they said a small town is also considered like a mavoy. Right? Right? So the simple answer is that a regular case of grusha, right, presumably, as long as if she got remarried or if he's a kohen, they shouldn't live in the same mavoy. So if they shouldn't live in the same mavoy, presumably they definitely shouldn't live in the same chatzer, right? That's kav v'chomer, living in the same chatzer is even closer. That's like backyard neighbors, basically. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't do that. Fine. So the Gemara says, fine, but me need to have you play me. Okay, so who has to move? All right, who has to move? So Tashma, Desanya. He nidcheis mipanav, ve'ein hu nidcha mipanea. So the Brisa says that she has to move and he doesn't have to move. Why? Vim haisa chatzer shaloa hu nidcha mipanea. But if it's her chatzer, right, then he has to move. So the Brisa says, fine. So ibaylehu haisa chatzer shal shneya mo. Okay, but what? I get it. If it's her chatzer, he can't live there. Fine. But what if the chatzer belongs to both of them? Right? What if they each have a house and that chatzer? And we said, whoa, you can't. This is not going to work. Who has to move? So Tashma, he nidchas mipanav. Right? We just said a bris that says she gets pushed away because of him. But my askinam, what's the case? Ileva b'chatzer shalo. If it's his chatzer, pshita, that's obvious. It's his chatzer. Of course, she has to move. Right? Ve'ela b'chatzer shalo. And if it's her chatzer, va'atanya im ha'is chatzer shalo, who nidchas mipanav. Right, if it's her chatzer, then he has to move. So elolav ki agana, right? So what's the case? What must be the case? The case must be that it's when it's a neutral site, right? And it's neither person's chatzer. So what happens? So then she's the one who has to move.
Meaning if they both own it, if they co-own it, or it's neutral,
right? Exactly.
Neither one of them own it.
Actually, take a look. So the Gemara is going to say, well, what do you mean? Dilma da agar megar. Right? Maybe maybe the case is that they're both like, you know, renting, right? In that area. Is that what they say? Renting? Yeah, but both renting, right? So the bottom line of the question is Maya. So, fine. So meaning it's neither of theirs. They're just both renting. So it doesn't belong to either of them. Does she have to move in that case? So it says Gemara my Havila. So how do we pass again? Tashma, hine Hashem, mitaltala gever. So when the Pasuk Yeshayahu says that Hashem is going to like make you metatlan, things like a movable property, right? Meaning that Hashem's going to move you, right? It's a nevuah of things Hashem like just, you know, moving the Jewish people, putting us in the galus, etc. And he calls it a tiltala gever, right? The moving of a man, it sounds like. So Amar Rav tiltulai de gavra kashe mid isisa. So Rav said men having to move out of their comfort zone or whatever is more difficult than for women, right? So therefore, what's this assumption? That's how we know that it's actually worse for a man to have to move than a woman. So we have more rachmanas on the man, and therefore the woman's the one who has to move and not the man. Don't tell this Gemara to your wife later. Fine, that's what the Gemara says. Okay. But it's a real shaila. When couples get divorced, they get remarried. They shouldn't live so super close to each other for exactly this reason. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan. Lo vehimena b'nichsei avia, eidin nifras elad aydi achash. Now we're going to talk about other cases, other examples where a couple that was once married has to be careful not to be involved in scenarios where they can be alone. And alone in a way that could lead to suspicion that they could end up doing the wrong thing. So what happens if he borrowed money from her father's money, meaning when they were, when every time a couple gets married, so the wife would sometimes bring into the marriage certain property that belonged to her father. It's called the nichsei maluk. And that property comes in, when it comes into the marriage, she holds on to that property, and when they get divorced, she takes it with her. Right? So what happens? So Rashi says nichsei aviha. It's the last wide line in Rashi. Shehaya biyadeha biyada nichsei miluk. She had the nichsei miluk. Ubekohen shegirish is ishto kamayri. We're talking about a case of a kohen who divorced his wife. Okay, so he borrowed money while they were married. He borrowed money from these nichsei miluk. She had an account. Let's just say, right? It's property, but let's just say he borrowed money from her father or from her while they were married, and now they get divorced, and she wants to get paid back. So, right, so the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan lo vehemena b'nichsei aviha eina nifras ela ayde acher. She can't go back and collect the money by herself. She has to get the paid back through an intermediary. Rashi says, eina nifras hemenu ayde atzma shelo yikrivu bedvarim. And they shouldn't like go and have like this private conversation about getting the money back. Right? We don't want to do that. So Amrav Sheshes v'asu lekamala dina lo mitzakekinan lehu. And Rav Sheshes says, if they would come together to Beis Din, we wouldn't listen to them. We're not gonna like even have a conversation with them if they're just one on one, the two of them. Right? Rav Papa Amar, Shamosi Mishamtina Lahu. And if they would do that, we would put them in Khairim. Right? For a man and a woman who were previously married and are currently not married, they're walking in by themselves to Beis Din, that we put them in Khairim for that. Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Amar, Negude Nami Minagdinan Lahu. And not only that, says Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua, we would give them Malkus for that. For hanging out basically alone, the two of them, a Kohen who had been married to a woman, and now they're like hanging out by themselves.
Oh, this is a Kohen case, right?
Yeah, presumably it's a Kohen case. That's where Rashi started it.
Okay.
So these are all different possibilities. Does it mean all these things build on each other, right? Or each one is a separate response? The bottom line is very serious way that we deal with that we respond to a man and a woman who used to be married. He's a Kohen, and she's now a Grusha, and they're like hanging out. Right, they're having conversations, they're doing business deals. This is not something that we're comfortable with. So I'm Rav Nachman Tana be'Eva Rapsi. So Rav Nachman says there's a brayse in Eva Rapsi. It's what we know as Mesechus Smachos. B'med dvarim amurim shenisgarish mina nisuin. So when is this whole conversation? That's if they were married totally, they had nisuin, and now they got divorced. Avakish shenisgarish mina erisin nifras ayde atzma. But if they just had been engaged, right, they had just done erisin, they hadn't done nisuin, right? So then she can get paid on her own. Why she ain't libo gaspa? Because they don't have this intimate relationship, right? They just got married. I mean, we I know we're calling engaged, but right? We talk about two stages of marriage, erisin and nisuin. Erisin they would do a year before they would do nisuin. But the bottom line is just through erisin they weren't really living together.
So they can show together in the court.
Meaning they're not living together, so they don't have this. They don't. It's like a couple who was engaged and gets a broken engagement. So in that scenario, they never had that. That very close intimate relationship. They didn't have a physical relationship with each other. So we don't have this same concern because they don't have in libo gaspa. They don't have this intimate, easy relationship with each other. So we don't have that concern.
He already
what
has
might
access
happen.
To her money, her father's money, right?
Once they did nisuin, when they did a erisin, I guess. Yeah.
He
borrowed money, yeah. I guess. Presumably any of these other pieces, because in libo gaspa, they don't have this very intimate relationship, so we don't have that concern.
But even just say Rusin, she's still considered a Grusha, and she
yes,
so she can't marry him again,
and she can't marry any Cohen again.
Right,
okay. Correct. Meaning Arison still considered them full. They're married, and enough to be considered a full Grusha, which is just going to get from Arison. Correct. But the point is, in terms of what their relationship was like, they never had that very close relationship, and that's why we can continue to. We don't have such as extreme a reaction to them spending time together in this way once they're divorced. Hahu aris v'arusasa. Meaning, by the way, that's like all the dinim of Yichud and everything still applies to them, just like anybody else. She's still a Grusha and he's a Kohen. But fine. Hahu aris v'arusasa da'asla kama derava. So there was a man and a woman who had been engaged, or had erusin, and they came in front of Rava. Yosef Rav Ada, and presumably means that they had been engaged, and then they had, and he was a Kohen, says Rashi, and then they got divorced. And they came in front of Rava. Yosef Rav Ada Bar Masna Kamei, Uki Rava Shlucha Ben Tayu. So Rav Ada Bar Masna was sitting there, and he saw that Rava put a shliach between the two of them, like he stuck someone between them, because they shouldn't be there together just by themselves. Amalir Rav Ada Bar Masna, Vahamar of Nachman, Tana, Ba'eva, Rapsi, Vahulei, Hulei. So Rav Ada Bar Masna said to him, wait a second, Rav Nachman said in Eva Rapsi, he quoted Eva Rapsi, this whole story, that all these concerns that we have is only when it was me and Nisuin, but these people had only had Erison. So Amalei, Kachasidin, the Kagaisi Bahadadi. And this is a very important line. He says, yeah, but I saw that they had a very close relationship, meaning you could have a couple who only had erusin, right? But they have a very close relationship, which is probably true by most couples today who date, and you're dating for 3 months or 4 months or whatever, and then they had erusin only. So they are already libo gaspa, right? They had dated for a long time. They have a very close relationship. Okay, so they didn't have a physical relationship, but they have a very, very close emotional relationship that's already called libo gaspa, right? So therefore, that's why he placed someone in between them. It's not libo gaspa is not a technical term for having had erusin. Libo gaspa is a technical term for the level of emotional connection, right? And once you see libo gaspa, that was already enough. So ikad the army. Some explain it. Someone said a different pshat. They say same idea basically, but in a different way. Ikad the army lo uki rava shliach b'ntayu. What happened was Rava didn't put some person between them. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Masna nekam mar shliach b'ntayu. And Rav Ada Bar Masna says, wait a second, you should put a shliach between them. So Amalei v'hamar Rav Nachman. So he said back to him, what do you mean? Rav Nachman said Tana b'Avi Rapsi v'chulei. What do you mean? That's not true. This is only erusin. So I don't have to put a shliach between them. So Amalei, no, hani mili heichad lo gaisi b'hadari. Ava hani kachazina lehu the gaisi b'hadari. So he says back to him, no, that's only true because it's not libo gaspa. But here you can see, look how close they are. Look how close your connection is. They're libo gaspa. We should put someone between them. But the bottom line is, however you read the story, however the story is quoted, the bottom line is, it's not about erusin and nisuin, it's about libo gaspa. And once you have libo gaspa, so then we have more strict rules about how these two individuals who had been married in some way, erusin and nisuin, how they can relate to each other once they are no longer married. And it's the same thing true by hilchos yichud. All the halachos of hilchos yichud, it's actually mechalkus a little bit in terms of the achram, how you pass in this way, but that there are definitely those who assume that once you have libo gaspa in a relationship, once a relationship is very close, these rules of like Pesach Pasuch or Shusha Rabin, for example, that like, as long as the door is open, so then it's not considered yichud. So a lot of those rules, those kulas, according to some, go away. Because once you're libo gaspa, there's two emotionally connected that these rules don't work. So it comes up a lot of halachal maisa. Okay. Next mission. Okay. Again, about who's believed to give testimony, and this is going to be about a katan, or a person who's a gadol, but testifying at something that happened when they were a katan. So ve'elu ne'emanin la'ha'id bigodlon masharo bekutnan. So there's certain people who are believed to testify once they're a gadol about something that they saw when they were a katan. Okay, what's the case? Ne'eman adam lomar zek sav yodo shal abba. So Ben says, that's my father's handwriting. Okay, so how do you know his father's handwriting? He was a kid. He saw his father's handwriting. It didn't have to be when he was already 13. When he was 11, he also knew his father's handwriting, right? Vizek sav yodo shal Rebbe. That's my Rebbe's handwriting. Vizek sav yodo shal Achi. Or that's my brother's handwriting. So all those cases are believed, even if the child person had seen those things when they were a child, and now they're testifying as a halachic adult. Zachor hayisi biplonis sheyatze bihinuma varosha parua. Right, I remember that. There was a young woman who went out wearing a hinuma. If you remember the story, we had this a long time ago. This is one of the ways that they knew a woman got married as a basula, is that she would wear a hinuma on her head when it was time for this type of like wreath or something on her head. That made it clear that she was that she had been married when she was a basula, and her hair was uncovered. Right? So that's how you know that when she got married, she was still a basula. And another story, and you can say, I remember a person who left the school, litbol lecha b'truma, to go to the mikvah to eat truma. And he was with us when we would get our food from at the threshing floor. Meaning to say that he's a kohen, right? V'amakom hazeh beis hapras, and that place was a beis hapras. V'ad kan hainu. Bayim v'Shabbos, and it was this place we would go on Shabbos. You can tell this story. Okay, so all these things are permitted for a child, person who was a child who saw all these things to be able to tell these stories.
What's Beis HaPras?
The Beis HaPras, how did it define Beis HaPras?
They define it as, it's the complete, a field where they plow over the graves.
Okay, fine.
Plow over graves?
Yeah, the point being where a Kohen could walk, this area is a Beis HaPras, or to be able to testify that this area was a place where graves are, so where is a Kohen allowed to walk? Or this is how far we would walk on Shabbos to the following places. Things that they could remember, this is where the Tchum ended, but the different things that a child could say, I just remember these experiences, and using that as a way of, reflecting the halacha. So, Ava ein adam ne'eman lomar, but a person is not allowed to say, derech haya leploni b'makom hazeh, my midu misbeid haya leploni b'makom hazeh. Right, they say that there's a certain place, a certain pathway in this area. There was a hesped in this place, meaning to say, I remember there was a hesped. There was a funeral there. Right, like a Rashi says, ma'amidu misbeid, makom hayalo kan la hasped mesav. This is a place where they would give hespedim. Right, they would give eulogies. Kishemolich on the Beis HaKvaros, and they would go to the Beis HaKvaros, to the cemetery shalom. V'la'asos sham amados u'moshavos hayu osin shiva lemes. Right, this is a place where I went. There was a funeral here, etc. These things they wouldn't allow. Okay,
wouldn't allow. I mean, his testimony wasn't accepted.
Correct. You wouldn't accept his testimony
about these
stories.
That's like an exactly. exception, then, right?
Yeah. Well, we have to see. Well, the question is, what the exception is? What's the exception of accepting the testimony of a person who they saw the testimony when they're in child? So we have to see what's the difference between these cases that we allow it sometimes and don't allow other cases. Right?
Yeah, but is an easement.
A what?
An easement. That's what they're saying that he would. The Aegis would have demonstrated that it's an easement, that you have a right of way over somebody. In American law, it's like an easement, somebody has a property, you have...
This is someone, right, exactly. Right, this is the way people would walk. I remember walking through that person's backyard, whatever the example's going to be, that they're giving some type of testimony about this area. So the question is, how significant the testimony is, and that's part of the question. All right, so let's continue the Gemara for a second. Gemara says as follows. Amr of Huna, Breder of Yeshua. Vuhu sheyesh gadol imo. So Huna Breder of Yeshua says, yeah, that's when... When he's the second witness, right? You already have a gadol standing with him, and he's the second person, right?
A gadol meaning somebody who didn't see this as a katan.
Correct, right, exactly. Because there's something about the testimony of a katan. He's now a gadol now, but he was a katan when he saw it. So clearly this is not, what we're going to assume is that this is not going to be full edus. If it's something that needed full edus, it's going to be harder to accept the testimony. But there'll be examples now, reasons why we accept it. So Rav Huna ben Yehoshua says, yeah, that's when there's another, he's just the second testimony aid, and he's kind of like continuing to support the testimony of the first one, right? Utsricha, and I need it. Why? Diyash, meaning aviv. Because he's wanting to tell me he believed for his father's handwriting. Right? That's because, why do we do aviv, rabo, and achiv? Right? What do you need all three examples? So father, because maybe I believe that, because he's never around the house. Aval Rabbo lo, but his Rebbe, that was just at school. V'yashmin, and Rabbo, Mishum, the Islai, Eim, said the Rabbi. And maybe the Rebbe, it's because he had a certain awe of his Rebbe, so he would remember the Rebbe's handwriting. All right, how the Rebbe writes on the board, something unique about him. Aval Aviv lo, his father, you don't have that same unique connection. V'yashmin, and Hani Tartia, those two, you'd say, Aviv, the Shchiach, Abbe, Rabbo, the Islai, Eim, say. Aval Achiv, the Leislai, Loha, Veloha, Eim, lo, but the brother has neither, so I wouldn't trust that. Kamashalon. Kevin the Kiyum Star Kamashman, we do believe him. Why? And this is the reason why. Kevin the Kiyum Staros Midrabanan. Again, what's the whole idea of recognizing the signature? It's Kiyum Staros, right? It's to say that this document is indeed a good document. So Kiyum Staros itself, the whole concept is only Midrabanan, right? Why is Kiyum Staros only Midrabanan? Because we assume, right, that once I have an aide, right, who writes their writes their signature, right, so it's like an ancient necher reduce mabesim. We assume that it's a full testimony. So midaraisa already the star is fine. So since Kim starts only midrabanan, him nu rabanan midrabanan. So the rabanan now believe him, right, in these cases that are drabanan itself. Look at Rashi. Yeah, look at Rashi. Kim staras derab midrabanan midaraisa lo ba inan kim. Right, in general. We don't. If I have a document, we've talked about this in the past, right? If I have a document that has a signature on it, midaraisa, that document is accepted. It's accepted, right? Midaraisa, the document is fine. It's done already. Chazal tell me I need kiyum shtaros. Okay, so if Chazal are the ones who tell me I need kiyum shtaros, what can they do? They're the ones. Hey, we have a rule namru. If they're the ones who make the rule kiyum shtaros that they need this, so they can also make certain leniencies about how you do it. Right? So they said the Rabbanim, we'd like you to be Mekayim Nishtar. Fine. So what do they say? So they say in certain cases, we'll be more Mekayim. Look at Rashi. Himnu Rabbanim, Midir Rabbanim, Bidavra, Shehu Midivrehem, Heiminu. Right? So things that are already owned the Rabbanim in the first place, so they trusted this guy's testimony. Ve'inze Oker David Min HaTorah. Right? They're not removing something that's, you know, Midaraisa, it's fine already anyways. Right? Heim Amru veheim Amru. Heim Yitzrichu Kim Eidus veheim Yichshiru Boaz Elu. So fine. So they, meaning, they're the ones, it's like when Chazar are already being machmir on us. They said, look, you really don't need this in the first place. I don't need you to tell me that this signature is good. Okay, but we say we want to be machmir. So they say, but we're being machmir anyways. So okay, so the guy was a katam and he saw it and now he's a gadol now. Okay, so we'll be lenient on that now. Right? Because the only reason we allow it is cases where midaraisa, you don't need it anyways. But for the situation, you need it.
We already have the signatures on the star, right?
Exactly.
And so it's a valid star on midaraisa level.
Correct.
So this now somebody's testifying about.
That's extra.
That's the,
it's not like someone's testifying about somebody killed somebody and we allow this guy to come in. It's since the whole thing's on the Rabbanan, so therefore Chazal believed him in that case. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow.